Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, The Dark Side of the Dead, a conversation with Jason Emmerich. It should have been a peaceful afternoon. Childhood nap turned into a horrific nightmare in reality. As a child, Jason Emmerich fled to his mother's room, chased by decrepit bugs that would send any child running in fear. From this point forward, he knew he could sense the dead. Not only the dead, but the dark side of the deceased, the demonic. Today, we talk with Jason about his experiences and life battling such forces.
The bottom line is where it all started for me was, one of the first memories I have was when I was four. I actually remember waking up and all over my walls in my room, it was my mom had put me down for like a midday nap. And my mom put a blanket over the window. It was real dark in the room. But when I woke up, I remember seeing these like bug-like creatures. I mean, they were huge, but they were very real. It wasn't like I was still dreaming. I mean, I was wide awake. I knew that, you know, even then I was able to establish and connect, okay, I'm wide awake. What am I seeing? Yeah. So I got scared. I didn't really know then or even now exactly what those were, but they were some type of creatures or something I felt. And to this day, I still feel that way. Well, I ran out of my room, opened my bedroom door, and it's bright, it's daytime. I run into my mother's room where she's reading a book on her bed, yelling at her, freaking out. I crawl up in the bed and she's like, "What's going on?" I had slammed her door when I ran in and I'm like, "Mom, there is something crawling on my walls." And as I'm telling her this, broad daylight, those things that were crawling in my room must have chased me out of my room, and they were like squeezing through the bottom of the cracks of the door and around the door. And I mean, I was freaking out. And my mom, I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Close your eyes, and when you open them, they'll be gone. They're not real. Well, I closed my eyes, I opened them, and they were gone. She was right. It worked. Whatever happened worked. But how I think about things today, being very sensitive to spiritual energy, I think that was also one of the first moments that I actually got closed off, if you will, from my, like, you know how they say children and animals are very sensitive to spiritual energy. They're innocent and they lack what people tell them. Yeah. So I believe at that time was probably the first time that I was getting closed off to the natural ability that I was born with. Not that it, in other ways, it's still there and very intense for me, but I've had to build that up throughout my life to get where I am now. And I'm not even close to the sensitivity I believe I had then. But that was the first moment that I can actually remember of experiencing anything that I would consider really and truly paranormal.
Did your mom understand what you were going through? I mean, the fact that she had a solution like shut your eyes, open them up, and they will go away. When you're able to talk with her, you know, when you're a bit older, was this something that she also had that ability to, and that was her coping mechanism that she was passing on to you?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that that's probably what was going on. I really don't know how sensitive she is. We really haven't. She's very religious. Nothing against her or what she believes in. But we just don't discuss it. Like, you know, I believe would benefit both of us actually. But on the other hand, her mother, she's passed now, was a spiritualist. My mom would tell me stories of my grandmother passing out Ouija boards at Christmas. And, you know, now that's the person that I could connect with and talk to. So if anything, the behavior or the subject matter that I was giving my mom at that time as a child probably came from my grandmother, and maybe like little spiritual ways to solve problems. But, you know, I really don't know about my mother, but I believe that if she was influenced or was saying that in that way, it probably came from my grandmother. Cause, it was definitely, and I actually just found all of this out like within the last 3 years and after my grandmother passed, cause I always thought she was really Christian. Mm-hmm. But, now that, she's passed and I know that she was a spiritualist prior to becoming Christian, I understand the questions that she would ask me about, like, you know, paranormal investigations, like, you know, I can tell she's probably battled some very evil, things in her day, you know, very strong willed woman, but she was just always inquiring. And now today I know a little bit more why she, was asking those questions. But yeah, she, probably influenced my mother and what she was saying to me, if she had experienced it herself or somebody that she knew had.
That's interesting, because it makes you wonder, you know, almost the way that your mother doesn't necessarily talk about it very much, she had her fill of it maybe with her mom. And
yeah. It scares her. You know, my mom and my aunt, well, you know, all my mother and her siblings are very fearful of the God aspect. So, anything that, will, rattle that little cage will bring, you know, actual fear. And, my grandmother was very intimidating to them. You know, to me, she was just, you know, I looked at her like, oh my God, I just want to know everything that she's experienced, you know, because back then when she was involved in spiritualism, it was a form of like, you know, paranormal research in a way. Mm-hmm. It was kind of straying away from the whole religious aspect and heading towards like superstition, why things happen, like sort of like residual thing, you know what I mean? Some weird stuff.
But sure.
They didn't have the equipment that we have today. And, you know, I kind of wanted to gain, cause you know, they were very knowledgeable, in those, you know, they seem to have people like my grandmother seem to have answers for the questions that new researchers like me have many questions to. And it's like, how did they get all those answers without the equipment that we had? You know what I mean? So
sure.
They had to have been very connected to do that. So it's very validating. So it's cool to know that it flows in my veins a little bit.
Sure. And it makes you wonder. I mean, it's something that I could say is an observation, just having talked to hundreds of people, you know, in the field, that the ones who have it essentially, as you describe it, flowing through their veins, they tend to have more powerful experiences than those who may even have a stronger desire to have experiences. But if it's not there, it's not genetically part of them, they may not. It's just kind of one of those things. It's like you can sit there and wish you had better eyesight and you could see all the leaves blowing in the wind. But if your eyesight is shit, you can wish all you want. It's not going to make a difference.
And don't ever think that I have not wished that I didn't have the because sometimes it's very scary, you know. Before I ever knew that what I was, you know, because all my life I didn't know that what I was experiencing was spiritual. I mean, I was getting to the point where I was seeing doctors trying to figure out if I was becoming schizophrenic. You know, because of the things that I was seeing, well, come to find out, when I would take recorders and cameras and radios and the equipment that we have access to, and capturing evidence of a spirit or some energy saying my name when I'm hearing it, is very validating. I mean, it really, really opened my eyes. I mean, it tears me up with how crazy those first moments of realization that, hey, I'm not sick and mentally ill.
Yeah.
Maybe it can drive somebody to, you know, and I feel bad for the people that don't know that that's what's going on.
Sure.
Not saying that that's what all schizophrenics are dealing with, because that's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that I was to the point where it was getting that bad for me, because, and that scary, because when you know that it's not real,
mm-hmm.
it's very, very frightening. And that's what I was convincing myself that it was. You know, it wasn't until I picked up an EMF detector and a digital recorder and a cheap infrared camera, man, and caught some energy on camera. I caught some voices. It was just, and it was what I was hearing and what I was seeing. So it was life changing to find out that the things that I experienced throughout my life were spiritual versus mental, you know. Although some, you know, because I can't help the things that I run across sometimes being negative things.
Sure.
And, you know, that, you know, once you give in to just acknowledgement, sometimes it can create mayhem. And yeah. Making eye contact with things that don't think you can see them sometimes can be very unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to actually, you know, build up that empowerment in your own spirituality to protect yourself. That's how it pans out. You know, you become almost like you got your armor on all day long, to where if something like that does come across, yes, they might have something that can penetrate that that armor a little bit, but it's tough for them, you know, after so long of dealing with it, you know, in your own home and or walking on the street in elevators. I mean, you never know. I mean, I never know when it's going to happen. And it's just one of those things, but yeah.
Sure. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.